All right, turn, if you will, to First Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to talk to you about spiritual gifts and the baptism and on. In 1 Corinthians 12, it's really talking about being the member of the body. And you start to realize, God doesn't want... Well, can I start in 1 Corinthians chapter 1? I think I'll start there before I go to 12. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I think it's funny how these verses pop in my head after I get up here. The body of Christ is one unit. It's a church that is started with the Apostle Paul. I believe, listen to me very carefully, I believe the church started in Acts chapter 9. Acts 13, though, is the first time you hear the gospel being preached in the King James Bible, verse 38 and 39. But I believe Paul was saved, and he's formed a church called the body, and this body is different than the kingdom message. That's better, isn't it?
Amen.
And you think we could afford pens?
You have a whole bunch of them there.
Don't get me excited. Quit.
I put
Did you? Well, that one works. I only need one at a time, guys. Relax. I've got it under control. I know you guys like multiple colors, but they don't show up real well on the internet.
Black. The new ones are black.
All of them?
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. Black is fine. I'm into black. But he said in verse 10, he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." That is, this church is going to leave the planet, and Paul is preparing the church. That's what Romans through Philemon is. It's a preparatory epistles, the books of Roman through Philemon. Is those books are preparing the church to meet the Lord. That's what it is. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is preparing the Jews to go into this kingdom at the second coming. You got it? And so people get confused trying to lay out the doctrine here, back here, and the doctrine back here, over here. You got it? You can't do that. It would cause schisms in the body. It would cause divisions. And let me tell you, what the Lord wants most is for us all to speak the same thing. Look at it again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Got to keep my glasses on. I can't read without them. Verse 10. "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ," everybody underline, "that you all speak the same thing." Doctrinally. Not the same thing. I mean, you can talk about Alabama and Auburn football, and you can say different things. I mean, Norm is an Auburn fan. He doesn't get along real well with Deborah, who's an Alabama fan. But that isn't causing a division in the body, although it should. No.
Me and Norm don't get along, and I'm an Alabama
fan. Yeah, that's right. Because the Lord isn't wanting division doctrinally, but we can have different opinions on other things. Y'all understand what I'm saying? He's not asking us to be lemmings of exactly the same speech. He wants the church to represent Him in the fact that, you know, when someone gets up and they say, "Well, I believe you have to keep the commandments in order to be saved," You know what I'm thinking? That person, that person's lost. He's not part of the body. You got it? There'd be some frustration there, and then we're talking, and I've watched these guys up in Kentucky write these debates. If you haven't befriended David Z, go to my webpage, get David Z as a friend, and look at Leonard, David Z, and Curtis's Facebook. And it's like 108 postings. And some of these posts are 4 and 5 paragraphs. You ought to read them. It's interesting. And the reason why I say there's interesting is there is a solid division down between them. They're not in the same body. They're talking two different truths. And truth is what matters. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He's talking about the body in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant that you know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speak of the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, and this is back when there were spiritual gifts. There were signs, miracles, and wonders. And you've got to ask yourself, okay, well, if Paul is our apostle, and without rightly dividing Paul's epistles, how do you get rid of the tongues? What happens to them? You see, the only explanation is that thing that I was writing up earlier. You've got the Romans letter, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. You got it? Over here, guess what was being done? Over here, there were signs and miracles and wonders, and all of that was happening because the Jews still had the preeminence. You got it? But somewhere toward the end of the book of Acts, that ceased. It quit. And how do you know? There's no signs over here. None. All those signs have disappeared. Before there were signs. Even Gentiles could do signs. Why could they do signs? What? They had the Holy Ghost, but why did they do signs? For the Jews. It was a proof to the Jews. They had to have that, or the Jews wouldn't have believed they got saved. So these people had diversities of gifts. Verse 4. Now the diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There is diversities of operation, but the same God, which worketh all in all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given unto you to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the words of wisdom, another the words of knowledge by the same Spirit, another faith by the same Spirit, and another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, and on, workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning spirit. I mean, there are definitely signs involved here. Amen? Well, you got to say, well, Brother Barry, why would they have had signs? Well, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Believe your Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Watch this. See, that doesn't cause division today because we know something happened to these gifts and signs. Hopefully I can show you that in 45 minutes and we'll see. I'm hungry. I don't think I ate enough breakfast. I ate the same breakfast I normally eat, didn't I? My stomach about to eat me out of house and home in there. Quit it. Are you going to take me out to eat? All right. Whew, thank God, a pretty girl.
Thought she was looking at me. I was going to say crystals.
I like crystals. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. Watch this. I want you to write this down in your Bible. For the Jews require a... You got that? The Jews require it. They've always required it. And so the Gentiles were given signs to show the Jews that they got it. But go to 1 Corinthians 14. You may want to hang on to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Man, I see that sword he's got. Man, that's nice, man. Don't you feel different with it in your hand? That's good. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 22. Wherefore, tongues are for a... Oh, hang on. Who did he say this tongues were for? The Jews require a sign. Wherefore, tongues are for a... Who are tongues for? Jews. Well, you said unbelievers, but let me qualify who the unbeliever was. Now watch, verse 22. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe. Who believed? The Gentiles believed. But to them that believe not. Who crucified them? The Jews. That was what the signs were for, and that matches, I would put in my Bible if I wanted to be a Bible student, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, right by verse 22 here. You got it? It matches. And so, people today are in churches doing signs. Well, I'm going to show you some other things here in just a minute, but what I want you to understand is there can't be any division. I know for a fact that Paul did signs. Amen? We're going to read 1 Corinthians 12:12 in just a minute. He did signs. There were signs and miracles being done at the beginning of his ministry. It is very clear if you believe your Bible. Now, he says, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not, the Jews. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them that believe. And if the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that were unlearned, Gentiles, and unbelievers, they would they not say unto you that you are mad? But if all prophesies, therefore come in one that believe not, and unlearned, he is convinced of all. Listen, what convinced you of the truth? The Word of God preached over and over again. You understand? That is, I use this book to preach the gospel to you, but if someone came in and someone was speaking, that wouldn't be a sign for you to believe. You got it? And the Jews require a sign. So, go back to 1 Corinthians 12 for just a minute. Verse we used earlier, but I want to read it again. Oh, this is not the verse. Sorry about that. I'll have to go down. Let me get down in the passage. Verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, also is Christ. That's how it's designed. Well, what do we know about this body? At the beginning, it was just made of what? Jews and Gentiles at what? That blessed, the beers. But at the end, the seers were allowed in, and from that time, there were no more signs. There was no more need. You all understand? The body is mixed of people that did speak in tongues, and they did have the law, and did have those things. Those things aren't necessarily true. You know that I don't believe you ought to do everything in Romans through Philemon. Amen? Yes or no?
Amen.
Yes. Go to Romans chapter 3 and let me show you what I'm talking about. I would never teach this today. It was true. It's part of history. Very important. But I want to teach it to you. Romans 3, verse 1. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there in circumcision? What would you say?
None
today. Well, that's, you're denying the scripture of Romans chapter 3, verse 2, which he says what? Much every way. Yikes! They don't have an advantage today, but back then they did have an advantage. What was the advantage? Chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles, that word is like word of God, the oracles of God. Where would you go to hear the word of God? Synagogues. There weren't copies floating around like King James Bibles are floating around today. If you wanted to hear the word of God, the only place they had them were in synagogues. And what do you think the Pharisees and the scribes did? They rewrote them over and over and over again. And so if you wanted to hear the word of God, you'd go to the where? Synagogues. But as the word got published and as Gentiles outside of Israel started getting saved, manuscripts started going everywhere. Paul was writing letters to these people. And I imagine they didn't think it was going to come scripture at the time, but ultimately it did. God knew what he was doing. But he says, these people had an advantage. Well, I don't believe the Jews have an ounce of advantagement today. Do you all understand? There is no advantage of being a Jew. There's no advantage of seeking. There's none of that. And Paul did signs. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. That was the verse I had in my mind. But I wanted to read that other verse before I left. Go to 2 Corinthians 12 again, where we were earlier. And look at this. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Truly the signs of apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Why would he have done that in the Corinthians church?
They were blessers.
Yeah, but why would he have done signs? For the Jews. The Jews required a sign. You know his commission, right? Go back to Acts chapter 9. See, this all deals with this issue. Go to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 15, here was Paul's commission. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, the king, and the what? As long as that's the commission, let me tell you what, as long as Jews are involved, guess what needs to be there? Signs. But at the end of the book of Acts, and this included, by the way, for the ones in Kentucky, baptism. It had to do with coverings. Had to do with the law. Had to do with all that. Go to Acts chapter... Did I tell you Acts 28? Huh? Go to Acts 28. And so all the Jewish things that they did all become nil. It's not part of your faith anymore. And that's why Paul says we walk by faith and not by... It's not the signs we see. It's the Word of God we go by now. You understand? Now we've got the authority in front of us. We have to become Bible-believing saints of Almighty God. What am I trying to turn you into? Bible-believing saints of Almighty God. You don't have to believe me. It isn't in the issue. In fact, Wade brought up, we were talking about Dr. Ruckman. You know, he believes some crazy stuff sometimes. And he wanted clarity on something that I preached. And, man, I want to give it because you know what? I want you to get it. I want you to know what it is. But don't take what I believe. Take it to the Word of God and check it out. You understand? It's your faith. You've got to own your own faith. You've got to know what it is you believe and why you believe something. Don't just believe something because I believe it. Hey, I can be wrong. I believe now, after studying a few years, that there are many things I read about Dr. Ruggeman I didn't think was right. You understand? There were things that he was right in. His book, Manuscript Evidence on the King James Bible, was phenomenal. But his commentary on Ephesians stunk. You know? These people in Acts chapter 28, it's closing down. And at this point, things are happening in the ministry. Paul is in prison in Rome. He's in his own hired house. He is sent to call the elders of the Jews together. Look in verse 17. Acts 28, 17. This is very important because, you know, there's a lot of grace believers that don't believe in the middle wall of petition. But if you don't, then you're going to have problems over here with signs and wonders. Why would they have gone away? I can show you a defining moment when that happened and why it happened and what to be looking out for now. You understand? So that you're not confused, that you're not caught away by some false doctrine and whatever. Verse 17. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I had committed nothing against the people, who's the people? Israel. Or the customs of our fathers, who's that? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. Now that's fascinating, isn't it? Who, when they had examined me, would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. But the Jews spake against it, and I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar. Not that I have aught to accuse my nation of. Now listen very carefully to this next statement. For this cause, this is the reason I've called you together. For this cause, therefore I have called for you to see you, to speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I'm bound with this chain. Well, hold on to here and turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Are y'all getting anything out of this morning? Hold on to there because we're turning right back. Don't lose it. You're going to want your Bible pen. Get your Bible pen out, boys and girls. Dan's got his. Are you ready, brother? I can't talk with these teeth in. I look funny with them out, though. I suck my lip. Brenda thinks I'm pouting, which probably in most cases I am. Don't laugh. I know if I get an Indian, I'll need training wheels. It's embarrassing, but it's true. In Ephesians chapter 3, y'all there? Verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Why was he in prison? For the Gentiles. You got it? He's in prison for the Gentiles. How do we know that? Let go of that for a minute. Hold on to Acts 28. We're coming right back. And go to Acts chapter 22, I believe it is. Acts 22, verse 21. Oh, this is good stuff here, boys and girls. If you get this, you've got a lot in your pipe. And he said unto me, the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to Paul, Depart, for I'll send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Guess who he's talking about? He'd been going to Gentiles all along. He's talking about these Gentiles, these cursers. I'll send you far hence unto the Gentiles. These Gentiles were outside the covenant, having no hope and without God in the world. These Gentiles represent you in this room. You got it? And they were mad as a hornet. I was going to say mad as you know what, but I think that's cussing. Verse 22, and Israel standing around, listening, and they gave him audience unto this world and a word, and then lifted up their voices and said, everybody, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. No way would God send you on to these Gentiles. They've never blessed our nation. No way. It's impossible. It's not even fit for you to say those kind of words. And they were going to string him up and kill him right there. Verse 23. And as they cried out, they cast off their clothes and threw dust in the air. I mean, you know, these guys are mad. They're like, come on, let's fight. You know, they're kicking up dust. Are you getting my feet in that? Because it looks funny with my fat jiggling up here if you're not getting my feet. You know, he's kicking dust. They're stripping. They're ready to lynch this guy up. I'm not going to take my shirt off, Norm. So I can be more authentic if you took your shirt off. I'm telling you, it's a funny crowd here. I'm glad I'm at Grace Bible Church, aren't you?
Amen.
I am too. And they cried and cast off their clothes and threw dust in the air. And the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle. If he had not done that, they'd have killed him. Go back to Acts chapter 28. In Acts chapter 28, now watch this. Verse 20. For this cause, therefore, I have called unto you to see you and to speak with you, because for the hope of Israel I'm bound with this chain. Well, who became the hope of Israel? The Gentiles. And at that point, God made this church Gentile. Can a Jew get saved? Yeah, how does he have to get saved? Just like this Gentile right here. You got it? And from that point on, Kayla just texted me and said, don't take your shirt off, please. I thank God for you. Please keep your shirt on. Well, I will, because I don't want you to see my great ripples and muscles that I have tucked under this shirt. It would amaze you. I don't even go to the beach anymore. One time, a kid said, Mom, is that a whale over there? No, honey, I think that's your dad. It's terrible. These people became the hope of Israel. Is Israel going to get saved? Yeah, ultimately. But if they want to get saved right now, how do they have to do? They have to become just like a Gentile. Well, look at verse 28. I believe this is the mark where it is clear that this happens. 28:28. Be it known unto you, therefore unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles. Who's the Gentiles we're talking about? The beers or the seers? The seers. And they will hear it. And from that point on, things started happening. Look at 1 Timothy. Well, let me start in 1 Timothy chapter 5, I think. Verse 22. 22. Everybody there? Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partakers of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy... Well, why don't you just heal him, Paul? He lost that ability because no longer is God trying to get the Jews to see. No longer. And so in this dispensation, he warns that there's going to be some deception going on. Go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're going to end a little early, I think. What time is it? Well, about on time. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want to start in verse 7. I love to hear the Bibles crinkling and pages turning. And boy, that's just wonderful, isn't it? Verse 7. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. That is, satanic churches and his force, they're working right now. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall the wicked be revealed. And the he taken out of the way is the body of Christ. Then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now watch, even him who is coming after the working of what? Satan. How is he going to be coming? With all power and signs and lying wonders. Well, we know that during the time when Gentiles are here, God is not doing signs. Why? Israel is set aside. If you went from the cross to AD 28, guess approximately how many years that is? 40 years. 40 is the number of judgment. After that, God's not dealing with Israel any longer. He hadn't dealt with Israel since then, AD 70 until now. He's still not dealing with them. Those people that are in the land are not the Israel that will be in the land. I mean, some of them will be there. Y'all understand? But they're not being protected by God. Hamas, sending rockets right in, blowing and killing them. God's not protecting them. They're not standing in. You know, in Deuteronomy, he says, if you go in, the enemy will flee from you seven ways. They're not doing that now. They're attacking Israel. But when God's authority, when we leave this planet, let me tell you what, when this thing goes up, let me tell you what, from that point on, God's going to start gathering Israel together again in an official way. And the clock doesn't start until we're out of here. We're the constraining factor. You got it? What fills up the body? Us witnessing and talking to people about the Lord. Satan's out there too. He's using religion just as good as anyone else. I mean, there are churches filled with people that are ignorant. You know how I know? I was one of them. I mean, I went to church just happy as a lark, you know, dumb as a snake, you know. And then Brother Moore set me straight on my thinking and brought me the gospel, and I trusted the Lord. And guess what? Now I'm studying the Bible, not for you guys, but Brenda and I. I'm not studying for you guys. I'm studying for me. You know, I hope you're studying for you. Say, well, I come to Bible study. Yeah, he didn't say come to Bible study. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God. There's a difference. Amen? Amen. Norm said, there's a lot of difference thinking what you think down there and getting up here and speaking it. Amen. There is. You guys, when I get up here, you guys think, well, he's been doing this for years. Look, he looks comfortable up there. When you realize you're speaking the authority of Almighty God, every morning I am fearful that I won't say the wrong things. Because I can inject my human instinct and feelings into it just like everyone else can. The responsibility of getting you to see the truth is enormous. I don't want you to see me. I'm like a worm. I'm like a piece of junk. I want you to see the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to see this book. I want you to get excited about the book. Say, man, I haven't seen that before. Anybody been here and they come across something they haven't seen before and they go, wow, that's cool? That's what it's all about. It's like, hey, I've been enlightened. Well, you know what? Once you get a little more, and then you start studying on your own, it's going to happen when you're reading. You're going to go, wow, I can't believe I just understood that. I was glad that Wade and I saw Romans 8, 1 exactly the same. But you know what? It wouldn't have made any difference. If he'd have said something different about 8:1, I'd have taken it home and studied it just to make sure I was right. You understand? Now, I'm not going to run with an ego that I know everything. You understand? You bring me a good argument and you show me scripture and verses, I'm going to listen. Why? Because it's the whole key. I know what signs were for. You know what? If people start seeing signs today, look what Satan's coming after. Even him who is coming after the working of Satan with all signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. They're doing all these signs and wonders. Guess what's happening in the church today? And you've got to be careful in knowing what's up with the book. You got it? Study. What are signs for? The Jews require a sign. You don't have to wonder, oh, I wonder what God's up to. The Jews require a sign, 1 Corinthians 1. And so you start to put that in your database, and you start to realize the... And you don't even need me anymore. Because you got it. And what were tongues? Tongues are for... Who requires them? The Jews require... You start putting those pieces of the puzzle together and you start to realize that God wouldn't be doing any signs during this period of time. So what about all the churches doing signs, miracles, and wonders? Huh? Something's weird, isn't it? You got it? And you can know assure and rest in your faith. And I'm not talking about that God can't do anything. God can do whatever would please Him. You all understand? But He ain't taking men and wrapping men's hand. He said, put no hands on any man. You know why? He told that to a pastor. Timothy was a pastor. Because it's not necessary. If God needs me around, He'll keep me alive. When He's done with me, He can let me go. Listen, I just buried my mom Friday and Saturday. She's been dead since Tuesday. And you know what was really amazing? Is how confused people are about the Bible. They have no clue what's going on. Well, guys, I hate to tell you, but that is the hope of the church. Now, if I could have healed her, I may not have. That's a mother-in-law joke. That was a little humor. But if I could have healed her, I would have. If I could walk over to Doris and pray for her and put my hands on her and heal her, I would. But you know what? She's showing more faith in the condition she is than well people who won't even show up. Y'all understand? It doesn't give God any more glory. Paul tried to get rid of something. And you know what the Lord said to him? My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. You know what he wants? If he wanted to heal everybody, we'd all be skinny without glasses. Amen.
And rich.
And rich. And nothing worse than being skinny and seeing well except being skinny and well and being broke, I guess. Y'all understand? God... I mean, he would be kind of unjust, wouldn't he? Helping one person and then not another? I mean, that just seems like a ripoff. Back in the old days when Paul had that authority and Peter had that authority, guess what? It was anybody they touched. Anybody they talked to. Boom. Not true today. You have to suffer it. And the key is during your suffering and the moments of your darkness is to give Him the glory.
Amen.
That's the hard part. But that's the grace part. See, I believed in signs. Signs were for that generation. Even in Paul's epistles were there signs. Huh? Okay, listen. On the internet, they don't hear this. Were there signs back here in Paul's epistles?
Yes.
Yeah, and they quit when he went low to the Gentiles, which outside the covenant, and it ain't going to come back until after we're gone. And so what is Satan using? Signs to deceive people. Say, well, I've been touched. Well, then I would flee. Because you weren't touched by the Lord. Probably touched by Satan. Wouldn't that be a great deception? Guys, listen to me. Believe the book. Be a Bible believer. There's no confusion. I heard two big evangelists on the radio driving to Cincinnati one day. And I turned it in and I listened and I'm like, oh, this ought to be interesting, because I knew one was a fundamentalist and one was Pentecostal. And they were debating about signs. And because the guy didn't rightly divide, he had no clue of his defense. And I thought, why don't you let me at that and try a few verses? And he wouldn't name any of the verses I just quoted you. Why did Paul leave Timothy sick? Why did he tell him to use a little wine for thy stomach's sake? You know what? If you get sick, take a little wine. If you're really sick, take a lot of wine. Well, now, you guys are going to go away from here and say, that preacher's just promoting drinking. He's just a sinner. Hey, listen, if they're sawing off my leg, I want a bottle of bourbon. You know what I mean? You can saw all you want, but let me get fixed here first. We need each other, don't we? When we're down, we need one another to lift us up sometimes. You know what? If I could fix all your problems, I would. First thing I'd do is do this to myself, and I'd become skinny. I'd like to do that right in front of you. Just then I might do Wayne half as much as me, just to keep it humble. You know what I mean? I may not heal him all the way down to 180 pounds.
Wouldn't look right at 180.
You'd be wild, man. I mean, he wouldn't even be a grace believer. He'd be somewhere out there as a heathen. Amen. Hey, guys, listen to me. If I could fix your problems, I'd fix them. You know what? I can't. You know what my recommendation for today is? Trust the Lord. Just trust in Him. Ain't nothing you're going to do. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord.